Welcome back to 848. I'm Allison Cuddy. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday will be observed across the country on Monday. And if you tune in to WTTW Monday evening, you'll discover a moment of civil rights history that hits close to home, despite being less familiar than other milestones in the movement. Suburban Chicago filmmaker Seth MacLellan's documentary, The New Battle, chronicles the Chicago freedom movement. Taking place from 1965 through 1967, the movement was the first full-scale civil rights push into the North. Its goal? To end racial discrimination, not in a small southern town, but in the major metropolis of Chicago, all via King's leadership and method of nonviolent direct action. 848's Richard Steele recently spoke with MacLellan, who said the legacy of the Chicago movement is often overlooked.
I think that the Chicago freedom movement lacked some of the triumphant, clear victories that happened in the South. And so many times people will just brush over the work in Chicago, or they will allude to it just in terms of, you know, the negative with the terrible racial hatred and Dr. King being struck by a brick in Chicago. And what I was interested in was that Chicago was, for King, a new battle. It was a new set of questions, not just fighting racism, but fighting urban poverty. And the way I wanted to address that was to use the people who were actually there to interview Dr. King's friends and colleagues to get a feel for what it was like on the ground in that time.
People began throwing things at us, and mostly rocks, sticks.
He said, "You know what? That fella threw that brick, and out of all those people, he hit me." He said, that thing hurt. He said, he rubbed his head. He said, he hit me right in the head. You know what I mean?
Well, that night, they had a meeting. They said, "Dr. King, we come and host it up. We ain't going to do this no more." We were all over at Dr. King's house on 16th and Hammond. And Dr. King was a patient man. He listened to people. And then he said, "I'd like to ask you a question. If the building is burning, how do you put out the fire?" Oh, my God. Why did he say that? They went back out again. "Dr. King, don't play with us." Started cursing some more. And Dr. King said, "I just want the answer. Everybody know you put water on the fire. It's the only way you're going to put out the fire." And Dr. King said, "That's what nonviolence is. It's an alternative to the fire."
What did you learn that you did not already know?
I think that most people of my generation, most people who aren't of the baby boom generation, who didn't live through these events, have almost a mythological view of Dr. King, where we think of Dr. King as this great crusader for racial justice, and we think of someone deciding that they were going to sit down on a bus, and we think of marches and protests, but we don't understand as clearly the work, the organizing, the principles of nonviolence that Dr. King so effectively preached on and lived by.
So you're talking about the grunt work of the movement.
Yeah, that is actually how social change happens. Again, with the mythology of Dr. King, I think we just see him as this perfect person who just sort of did it because he was so amazing and so powerful. But the way he actually did it was by taking very concrete steps to create social change. And that was what, for me, what was so profound about the experience was talking to these contemporaries and friends of Dr. King's and learning about the principles of nonviolence and how effective that can be as a strategy, and how hard it can be.
Were they open to talk to you? I mean, one of the things you've said is you see part of their story in their faces. You know, there's some close-ups, and you see the emotion in their faces. When you talked to them about doing this, I mean, you're a young guy, so you're not a child of the era. I mean, you're this young filmmaker, white guy, coming to chronicle these experiences. How were you accepted?
Overwhelmingly with warmth and generosity. Again, I think because Chicago has been overlooked a lot, people were anxious to talk about that part of the larger struggle for social justice. And I think that people were excited that someone was covering the topic. And overwhelmingly, I'm not sure that all of them would agree with how I put the documentary together.
You know that for sure?
I don't know that for sure, but some of them I haven't heard back from. And part of it is that Chicago is a very controversial period. People say that the Chicago Freedom Movement failed, and a lot of people say that it succeeded. It definitely is a mixed review, and it comes from the tremendous victory in the South and ending legalized discrimination, which is one of the great triumphs of that period, or, you know, the 20th century. But in Chicago, and the title of the film is The New Battle, because I think Chicago is the beginning of a new set of problems that Dr. King was just starting to investigate and work on. The problem of poverty, which is a new fight. The successful part was starting to talk about these issues and starting to talk about poverty and what happened in Dr. King's work after Chicago. And some folks believe that he was very much spurred by his experience in Chicago as he started the Poor People's Campaign. And I see that from what I've studied and from what my interview subjects talked about as the real legacy of the Chicago movement is starting down that road.
We're talking about The New Battle, a half-hour documentary by our guest today, Seth McClellan, that will air on Monday, January 21st on WTTW here in Chicago. It will air at 10:30. Let's talk a little bit about the choices in terms of people you used. Obviously, you must have talked to a lot of people, and you had to sort of whittle that down to the faces and voices that we hear, including, of course, Reverend Jesse Jackson, who was present at the assassination of Dr. King, Reverend Willie Barrow of Operation Push, and some other people from Chicago. But how did you get down to whatever number? What number of people did you use?
I think there are about six subjects in the half-hour piece, and I wanted to use a cross-section of voices. So some people who were in leadership positions, some folks like Carolyn Black and Herman Jenkins, who were on the street and organizing people in a direct way. So I wanted to get their perspective as well, so you could see the Chicago Freedom Movement not as just what the folks at the top were doing to orchestrate it, but what the folks on the ground, on the street, talking to people were doing.
We talked about this a little bit, but I would like to end with this question, because I think you end the film with the pluses and minuses of the Chicago movement and in making kind of an assessment of what took place. As you got these comments from people and as they took a look at whether it succeeded or failed or, you know, what worked and what didn't, they also took a look at the future. So what did you walk away with?
I think that we've got our work cut out for us as a culture in dealing with urban poverty. But there is incredible progress in the last 50 years, too. And part of what intrigued me so much about this project is that it isn't an easy answer. It's not a, oh, great, everything's going to be wonderful for now on scenario. But it's not also we're doomed for failure. And I think there's a tendency to see things as either or. And that the lesson of the Chicago Freedom Movement to me is that it's about a lot of hard work and it's about keeping at it and working on these problems and not expecting everything to be fixed overnight, but also valuing and honoring how far we've come.
We've been talking about The New Battle. It's a half-hour documentary by Seth McClellan, my guest today. The film is edited by Elizabeth Fruth. It will air on Monday, January 21st on WTTW at 10:30 in the evening. Seth, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
I'm Richard Steele for 848 on Chicago Public Radio.
Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom over me. Over me. And before I'd be a slave, I'd be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free, and be free.